This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Tired of not getting a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello, hello. I'm Brittany Luce, and you're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR, a show about what's going on in culture and why it doesn't happen by accident. Picture this. After weeks of cold rain and snow, the sun finally parts through the clouds, the parks are filling back up with people again, and your favorite floral shirt is starting to look perfect for brunch tomorrow. It's springtime. Your long-awaited spring break is next week, and the last thing you need to do is get your hair braided. So you open up Instagram, search the hashtag for the style you want, and enter the world of the Instagram stylist.
If you're a Black girl who has tried to get her hair done in the past 2 or 3 years, you may have been a victim of this current epidemic of unprofessionalism that's going on with stylists these days.
The IG stylist is a digital shorthand for social media savvy hairstylists who specialize in all the latest hair trends. Lace wigs, silk presses, human hair clip-ins, lock extensions, you name it, somebody on Instagram does it. But out of all the styles, box braids have become one of the most consistent points of tension between stylists and clients. There are countless videos, TikToks, and threads of clients who are fed up with what they feel is a complete lack of customer service. There's the booking rules.
I just called the Pennsylvania Cosmetology Board on a stylist because I just read through her booking rules and it says she charges an extra fee for 4C hair.
Little to no hair care.
This lady's prices go from $780 to $1,000 and it does not include a wash, does not include detangling. You have to come with your hair already blown out and straightened out.
And deeply confusing pricing structures.
Is the IRS aware of the fact that you guys are charging $1,000 for braids?
Every few scrolls, there are videos of clients recounting negative to downright infuriating experiences with hairstylists. Last minute cancellations, no shows, stylists who eat while doing hair, and stylists who double and triple book while still charging upwards of $500 for a braided style. This week, we're revisiting an episode that looks back at what's behind these viral videos and answering a question on a lot of Black women's minds. Why does something as simple as getting your hair braided feel impossible? And is there a world where you could have an affordable, efficient, and fair place to get your hair braided? A Black supercuts of braids, if you will. Well, it turns out it's a lot more complicated than you think. So, dear listener, let's get some basics out of the way. Is it possible to have an affordable braider? Well, for many of us, one option is having your friend, your sister, or your cousin do it for free. But in my opinion, you've already paid handsomely for that by investing in the relationship. But there's also the question of if your cousin, your sister, or your friend can really deliver on what you're looking for.
I wanted to get the French curl braids that were popularized in West Africa and haven't fully come into like the American context, but it's starting to. And I had to figure out how to get the hair. I found it on Instagram.
This is Julesy, public historian and YouTuber. She's been one of the few people online dissecting the IG stylist conundrum through a historical and economic framework.
Think about yourself at 19, 20 and like, oh, I just want to make $25 an hour. And it's not $25 an hour anymore. So you can make six figures.
And to make a lot of money, these IG stylists have got to charge a lot of money, which not every customer is willing to pay.
They're not the majority, but I do know some stylists who do charge close to $1,000.
Now, there are stylists out there who price fairly, have excellent customer service, and do beautiful work. I've been with my hairstylist for over a decade for this reason. But many of those stylists require advanced bookings to stay on schedule, and a lot of customers are looking for drop-in, same-day service. And those who want fast and affordable same-day braiding services often turn to the braiders at their local African braiding salon. These salons tend to employ African immigrant women who can braid hair fast and cheap, which might sound good to the consumer, but your experience and results may vary. And Julesy says, depending on the salon, there are ethical issues to think about.
You have 3-4 people on your head and you pay $200. How are they getting paid? I don't think you shouldn't promote the African hair salon. There's African hair salons that I go to that they charge in the regular rate everybody else is charging. But the ones that are doing like knotless, 5 people on your head, you're getting out this at a very low cost. Spidey senses go off.
Hair braiding is ultimately a business. You know that, I know that, but some of us are not acknowledging that with business comes a transactional relationship. Both client and stylist will always want to maximize profit and minimize expense.
One wants to make money, and so that's their focal point, and one wants the lowest cost possible to the highest quality service. And so I do think there are some justifiable complaints that stylists hold about how consumers engage with them. And I think on the consumer side, there are very legitimate complaints about the lack of customer service that is happening because everybody's trying to cut corners.
But not so fast. There's another factor we haven't addressed: supply and demand. And there's one lawyer who thinks that the supply of hair braiders is being artificially squeezed through licensing requirements and the steep penalties for braiding without one.
For instance, in New York, your first defense for working without a license could be up to $500. And then as those rise, you know, the highest amount that they could charge you is $2,500. Or you could be faced with a misdemeanor and you could be imprisoned for up to 6 months.
This is Jessica Poitras, legislative counsel for the Institute for Justice, a nonprofit organization that has been representing hair braiders in the fights against what she sees as unfair licensing laws.
Yeah, you could be imprisoned up to 6 months.
And licensing laws don't just impact who is allowed to braid. It also limits what some hair braiders are allowed to do. Take, for example, the viral fury over hair braiders not washing their clients' hair. Turns out that might be a legal issue.
And in every state, the definition's a little bit different. But for the most part, there are some braiders in some states that can braid hair, but they can't wash hair, right? Like that's the law.
Like it would be illegal if they washed your
hair. It would be illegal because shampooing hair falls within cosmetology and the braiding falls outside of that.
Now, I think most people's next question would be, so why not get licensed? That'll solve everything. Not quite. Coming up, Jessica tells us why she's fighting for braiders to be exempt from cosmetology licensing.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing, backpacking, and another outdoor thing that rhymes with backpacking. Visit your local REI co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways you can opt outside.
Now, let me clarify. Not every state requires a license to braid hair. Many states have changed the laws recently and gotten rid of the requirement. Now there are more than 30 states where you can operate without a license. But where I live, in New York, while braiders do not need a full cosmetology license, they do need a special braiding license. And to get that, you need a minimum of 300 training hours.
In a perfect world, there would be a school that would offer just that 300 hours, right? But schools don't have an incentive to offer specific training for these small specialty licenses, especially hair braiding. And so we have people who are working as hair braiders in what we call underground economies, right? So they are faced with two options: work without a license, which is illegal, or go through a traditional cosmetology program. Those sorts of things increase costs for consumers as well, right? That's how all businesses work. You're not just paying for the actual service that you're getting, you're paying for how they trained, learned, their experience, their knowledge base to be able to give you that service in that time and in a manner that you find suitable.
So if a hair braider wants to go the legal route, they might face a number of barriers. They'll need to pass exams, which are mostly in English. And tuition can cost around $15,000, depending on where they are. They'll need to find the time to attend classes, and they will need to learn skills that have zero connection to the one thing they may want to do. Braid.
Hair braiding, as you and I both know, right, is a cultural and traditional grooming hair care technique for Black Americans and persons of African descent.
It's a skill that's passed socially as opposed to formally. So like you might learn it from like a mother, sister, cousin, something like that, as opposed to in a classroom at a beauty school. I can understand why a stylist would need to go to beauty school to even learn the process of dyeing hair and then to also apprentice under a stylist. Like you could burn someone's scalp off or improperly mix reactive chemicals. But are there risks to braiding?
There are risks associated with doing everything in the world, mm-hmm. right? But hair braiding very specifically is a very safe technique and skill. As Black women, we know it to be a protective style, right? Like kind of mm-hmm. the whole point of getting sun braiding services for some women is to be able to wear a protective style that protects our hair and allows it to grow. And I always like to say that, especially with the work that I do, is unlicensed does not mean untrained. Mm. We want our braiders, we want consumers to be trained. We are very pro-education. We just want you to get that education in a way that benefits you and your consumers. So if you already have the skill, great. You shouldn't have to go to school. But if you do need the skills, we want you to be able to find that training and have that training mm-hmm. available. But the current system, the way that it's set up, it's just not readily available for hair braiders.
Are there other types of skills, like maybe business management skills that are taught in cosmetology school that would be useful for braiders?
Having any sort of training on how to run a business would be great. The problem is we don't require that of other businesses, right? So if you want to open up a restaurant, we don't require people to go to business school to learn how to run a restaurant and how to keep books for a restaurant.
Gosh, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jessica Poitras, Legislative Counsel for the Institute for Justice. So we've heard the client's perspective. We've heard the legal perspective, but what about the stylist's perspective? To understand what goes into the actual cost of braiding and how we might get closer towards an ideal for everyone, we called up a real-life stylist, and she has a license. Her name is Teray Rimple of Teray's Hair Beauty in Brooklyn, New York. Teray, welcome to It's Been a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, so you are a licensed hair braider, hairstylist, but you had braided hair before you got your license. What made you decide to get the license?
So for me personally, I kind of slid into it. And as I mm-hmm. saw myself going full time and getting more clients, expanding and whatnot, mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to legitimize it for myself.
So you ended up actually going beyond the minimum requirement for New York State, which is getting a natural hair braiding license. Mm-hmm. You went to cosmetology school, but I have to ask, did they teach hair braiding at cosmetology school?
They had it on the syllabus. I would say that they did have it on the syllabus, just basic braids. Uh-huh. However, when I went there, I kind of ended up teaching the braiding and, you know, going a little further with it, the cornrows and whatnot, because even the teacher there, he wasn't that much of a braider. And so uh-huh. he saw what I could do and he was just like, okay, you need to help me out with this. So no, and it wasn't on the state board either. Wow. Yeah, it wasn't on the state board. You didn't really need to know how to braid in order to get the license.
I imagine you paid tuition.
I did.
To attend cosmetology school. And then you ended up teaching.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, for that 1 week. Yes, I did.
So you didn't learn to braid at school, but no. Did you get anything else out of cosmetology school?
I did learn more about like coloring and cuts. And also they taught me about valuing myself as a stylist.
It sounds like they did give you some guidance then about like professionalism and how to set boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What about like other aspects of business, like basic accounting, scheduling, things like that? Was that also part of the mix?
No, not that I could remember. Granted, I got my license a few years ago, so I might not remember every single thing.
Mm. You are aware of the climate right now online.
Absolutely.
You've, I'm sure, seen the videos and the rants and the threads and everything. What do you think clients misunderstand about braiding as a profession?
I think they don't put as much value as they should on their stylist. And they don't really see that this is an art form that it took a while to learn, to master. It puts wear and tear on our bodies, on our feet, on our hands. We're standing up for hours. Wow. My hands, you know, sometimes more so back in the day, it would swell or get a little stiff. So I have to run cold water on them. Or when I'm walking outside in the winter, I put my hands outside of my jacket just so the cold can get to it. I also only use my hands for braiding. I don't open jars or do crazy heavy lifting with my fingers or my hands. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you don't open jars?
Not if it's hard to open. Like if I try to open it and it doesn't open right away.
You protect your money makers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like to that point, there's been a lot of talk about the cost of braiding services.
Mm-hmm.
What goes into the cost of braiding hair?
First and foremost, how long it's going to take me to do it. That's definitely something I have to consider because I'm on my feet for that whole time. Second of all is the time and energy that I put into learning and perfecting this hairstyle, this braiding. Mm. I'm not charging the same prices that I did 4 years ago, 5 years ago, because I'm better now. My work is neater now. It's a different quality to it. Also, products. Also, overhead expenses and also the program that I use for people to book their appointments on. Mm. And also tools. Like, you know, I have to use certain tools. My combs, my brushes, my blow dryers, my hot tools. Like, all of these things cost money.
Hmm. A lot of people ask each other, we're asking ourselves if braiding is a luxury. I wonder, do you see braiding as a luxury? And do you think that that has anything to do with the relationship between hair braiders and their clients?
To answer that question, I would say it's kind of like asking, do you see eating as a luxury? No. However, you can choose to eat at McDonald's or you can go to a steakhouse. So similar to hair braiding, I would say it can be a luxury. You know, everything is up to par, sort of say. Mm. Or you can go to your cousin or something, assuming that the cousin is not his hairstylist, but, you know, go to your cousin and it's like, they can give you some braids and, you know, it's fine. It gets the job done, but it's not the same experience. Mm-hmm. It might not be the same quality. It might not even last as long.
That's really interesting. That's a really good way to put it. It seems like where the disconnect is coming in is that there's like people who want the Michelin star experience for the McDonald's.
There we go. There we go. Absolutely. That's the key. Yes. 100%.
Teray, thank you so much for talking with me today. This was really great.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation.
When we first started looking into the business of braiding, I wondered if a Black Supercuts, a polished, ethical environment where Black folks could get braided styles fast, cheap, and good, could ever be a solution to these issues. But now, I'm not even sure that's the right question. For the record, I do think some of the complaints clients have are completely fair. Not dealing with kinkier hair types or getting food in your hair are absolutely not okay. But after looking at the hair braid wars from so many different angles, it's clear that between inflation, restrictive licensing laws, and even painful injuries, braiders are up against way more than a lot of us realize. This isn't meant to excuse bad behavior from certain stylists, but in order for this industry and our cultural practice to thrive, we've got to treat its professionals with the respect they deserve. And whether you're getting waist-length braids or a medium-rare steak, now seems like a good time for us as consumers and as a society to reframe how we value labor and each other as people. Thanks again to Teray Rimple, Jessica Poitras from the Institute for Justice, and Julesy, whose video, Abolish the Instagram Stylist, can be found on YouTube.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany. This is Dina from New York. And believe it or not, I have yet to dive into the Beyoncé Cowboy Carter album. But before I do, I would really love to know what track you think is the track that I need to hear first and why.
Hi, Dina from New York. Thank you so much for calling in with this question. I have to say, either you are extremely busy, you're on a beautiful vacation, or you have a lot of restraint because you have not listened to Cowboy Carter yet. It's a great album. I know Beyoncé said it's not a country album, but okay, let's just be honest. She stopped short of saying yeehaw at the end of every song on this album, okay? This is definitely heavily country influenced. And honestly, I think that she wears her cowboy hat and spurs extremely well. But there is one song that I just love from this album that has been the song that I've been playing over and over again. And that is a little song called Bodyguard. I think it's very cute and tongue-in-cheek that Beyoncé even named this song Bodyguard in the first place. Because for those of you who don't know, Beyoncé has a famously very handsome, tall, and like multilingual bodyguard named Julius. I think it's very, 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 very funny that she decided to name a song on her album Bodyguard because she knows we all go nuts for Julius. It's country, but more like pop goes country in a very specific way that reminds me a lot of a few Prince songs, namely Raspberry Beret. When the song kicks off, it has a similar one, two, three. But then also, there's a certain way in which she's singing that is relaxed and sexy and cool that also recalls a lot of Prince's delivery on a bunch of my favorite songs, but specifically one of my favorites, Money Don't Matter Tonight. Money don't matter tonight. Sure getting mad, yes. Love that song. There is a way that she sings this song that makes you really feel both the desire and the playfulness that she has for the object of her affection. I just have a feeling, I mean, who can say, right? Our dear Prince is in heaven. But I have a feeling that if Prince were to hear this album, or if he's listening up above, I think Cowboy might be his personal favorite. That's just me. But overall, I mean, there's so many great songs on the album. You really can't go wrong. And I hope that you get a chance to listen to it soon. Also, I just talked about the album on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, which will be out tomorrow. So you will get more of my thoughts on this album very soon. So Dina, thank you so much for calling in with this question and giving me another excuse to talk about Prince. But overall, I hope that you have just a fabulous boot scootin' weekend. This episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by
Alexis Williams,
Corey Antonio Rose.
This episode was edited by
Jessica Plachek.
Engineering support came from
Patrick Murray,
Neil Tevault.
We had fact-checking help from
Barclay Walsh,
Greta Pittinger.
Our executive producer is
Verilyn Williams.
Our VP of programming is
Yolanda Sanguini.
All right, that's all for this episode of It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. Talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.